Welcome to Think Like a Dog podcast, where we explore dog behavior and psychology-based training to help your dog achieve their full potential.
Okay, you know what I just realized? Andrea is probably so mad at me that I don't do like intros to these, like how she always does her like really professional, welcome to the podcast intros. Oh, well, she'll be fine. Hopefully she's not mad at me for that. Well, you are the most patient person in the world because I've had to reschedule with you multiple times. So I am very excited to finally talk to you. Tell me what is going on with Piper.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Well, first of all, I have to say that I'm a little nervous because I'm honestly kind of a fangirl. Like,
oh, that makes me feel weird. Don't do that.
I can't help it.
We are not that cool. I promise you, we are not that cool. I promise. We're not worth that. I promise. I can give you some good information about your dog, but I'm not worth that. So don't be nervous.
I feel like, okay, so here's like the story is I graduated from my master's program. I got a job and I had been like that weird person walking down the sidewalk, looking at dogs like really intensely and being like, that dog is so cute. That's the best dog I've ever seen. And then I just like, one day was like, and I never grew up with dogs. I didn't have
dogs.
And I was like, you know what? Now's the time. Like I'm 28. I asked my housemates. So I live in a shared house. That's a big element of this.
Okay. Yep.
And they were like, yeah, you want to do that? Sounds great. We're on board. And so I met Piper. I was like, you know, she's cute. She's like a border collie German Shepherd mix. She's a lot of fun. Her foster parents were like, she's just fun. Like that's how we describe
her. That's awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. And I was like, this is great. I'm also really active. So I hike and I run.
Oh, cool. Okay.
Yeah. I was like, let's do this. Like, I know what I'm getting into. I'm going to do it. But I didn't know what I was getting into.
You never do. Nobody ever does. Yeah.
Exactly. But yeah, basically Piper got dropped off by her fosters. They loved her. They gave her, you know, they brought food and toys that she loved. And like, I was like, okay, this is a great situation. She's such a well-loved dog. Like, this is going to be great. And she was about a year and a half when we got her. And we got her in June. So it's been, 6 months.
Okay.
And within the first week, it was intense reactivity every time my housemates got home. And
wow. Okay.
I had a crate, but I didn't use it yet. I just like kind of had it there just in case I was going to use it. And I would throw treats in there sometimes, but you know, I didn't know what was happening. I was like, I'm going to have this perfect dog. It's naive of me now, but I basically was like, this dog is so scared that her hackles are up like 10 feet high in the air. Every time my housemate even walks in through, she walks into the house and just goes straight to her room and closes the door. That's a big deal. And then when she was opening the door to leave her room and go to the bathroom, that was a big deal because I guess Piper forgot.
Okay.
And so it was a really high tense situation for about like the first 3 months, I would say. All of us in the house, our cortisol levels were just through the roof.
I can imagine. Yeah.
That dog was like a big personality. And so the reactivity was really an issue. And there was even like an idea of me potentially returning her to it wasn't like a shelter situation. It was like, she was surrendered. I don't think there's any kind of abuse in her past,
but
she's just a super sensitive, smart border collie-esque dog. And I did not know what I was getting into. And I started listening to the podcast all about crate training and place training and structured walks. And then I started working with a trainer too. And basically the situation is so much better.
Like, yay. Okay. Well, then you don't even need me anymore.
It's so much better, but there's still so much fear And like, I think what's interesting is that I'm honestly like a little bit over the top with structure. When it comes to everyone else in my household and like my partner, I'm like, oh, Piper's she's in her crate for, you know, 2 hours after we do a long run. And then she does this and then she gets that and she never crosses a threshold without this. And it's like, it's super structured to the point.
Okay. Where, that's awesome.
I mean, I like it, but it also lets me, be like lean into that part of myself that is like, this is all
okay.
All the time.
Okay. Okay. We've got to learn how to live in the middle ground, but yes. Okay.
And yeah, and basically my big question with Piper is like, we've made it so far, but you know, when people come over, for instance, I have to keep her in the crate for at least a half an hour because okay. she will be barking, like fear barking, not just like, hey mom, there's somebody here. It's like, I am so deeply terrified that somebody's here. And so when people come over, it's 30 minutes in the crate and then I can let her out. And there's like, no toys. There's no nothing that she can, you know, start getting territorial over. It's like, cool. It's a very boring introduction to these people. And there's usually no
okay.
toys involved. And then on walks, this is just the last thing, is that on walks, we're getting a lot better. I was never able to get her to even entertain the idea of the power loop. She was like, hell no, I will rip my face to shreds before I wear this. Okay. And walk with you. And her hackles are the most insane thing I've ever seen when another dog okay. is near her. It is like 10 feet high hackles. Just she's on another planet. And okay. I'm getting better at space and distance, but I basically have an extremely fearful dog. And I'm
you also have a very cute dog. I'm looking at her picture and she's adorable.
She's special like, looking. She has the two colored eyes.
Yeah. And just lots of spots. Yeah. I really like the way my dog has two colored eyes too, but she's super cute. She's a big girl though. It looks like, I mean, what, 65 pounds? So probably like, not like.
About 60 pounds. Yeah.
Okay. 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 So I'm excited. First things first. Tell me a little bit more, I guess, go into more detail about the structure. So our like daily structure, because I definitely, my big goals are, I would like to get her on the power loop because I want to get your, I mean, I it sounds like we've improved on our walks, but I, sorry, now I'm going all over the place. Here's my thing with the power loop. Even though we have improved on our walks, like let's say she's perfect on the walks, but she still has this big reaction to the loop. My thought is what you're asking isn't a big ask. You're asking for her to understand pressure and release with a very thin rope resting on her nose, right? It's not a big ask. Yeah. Her reaction to it doesn't fit what you're asking. So just for the sake of the exercise, we have to work her through it because I think it's such a huge relationship builder. That's why I like, for me, conditioning a dog to the power loop is such a huge insight into how they handle stress. Mm-hmm. Because how a dog handles stress is how they're going to handle stress across the board, right? Just like me, how I handle stress is I double down and I don't sleep and I stress myself out and then it all blows up later on and then I crash, right? How she handles stress, it sounds like, is she absolutely panics. Just straight up panics. So to me, that's an opportunity to work her through something that completely stresses her out. Now, obviously how we do that matters because I don't want her to hurt herself. But my big goals for her would be, working her through this thing on the power loop, really making sure that, our walk is as good as we want it to be. Right. It sounds like, it's improved, but there's still room for improvement. Would you say?
Yeah.
Very much so. Okay. And then I want to figure out my first question, even before the structure, is the foster never had any of these issues. Did you ask? Okay.
This is my take. She was so well loved, and me not ever having a dog, I was like, mm-hmm. this is great. But what I should mm-hmm. have read through the lines was Mm-hmm. She was not able to stay in the shelter, so they had to get a foster for her because something.
Okay.
They didn't say why, but she just wasn't doing well there. So she goes home with these really nice folks who have another dog. This big, like 100-pound white German shepherd who I think had problems with Piper. And they initially wanted to foster to adopt. And then they came to the conclusion that their dog is a single dog household kind of dog.
Okay.
And they did not ever really elaborate, but what I gathered was this dog was resource guarding, which Piper showed when she came to me. This dog was like it was not able to even exist in the same room in the house as her. And sometimes they could go outside together. And Piper's very collie-y, so she's very spatial. So I imagine that there was like a lot that was going on that maybe they weren't clued in on.
Why would they be? Yeah.
How she came to me was everything is ball, everything is toys. And I think the way that they showed her love was throwing the ball, was like playing with her. And it wasn't structured in any way. They actually offered to take her for a weekend. I had like a camping trip planned a few weeks after I adopted her. And when I adopted her, I was like, you know, you guys had said that maybe you would want to visit her again. Like, would you want to take her for this weekend? And they were so excited. And when I got there, I was like, so we're crate training now. Can you make sure that she sleeps in the crate overnight? And I guess they said she started out in the crate, but they didn't want to close the door. And so, so they weren't able to maintain that structure. So basically she had zero structure there and was exposed to a dog that had some really serious resource guarding, basically.
Okay. Okay. And then, but they never, I mean, they never said, hey, when we had a guest over, she went crazy. I wonder if she was up.
I'm not sure how they live their life, you know, like maybe people come over and the dogs are hidden. And I could imagine that. I mean, they said that their German Shepherd, they had to put something on the floor in front of the window of their front, like their living room, so that the dog wouldn't like potentially break the glass when the mailman came.
Wow. Okay. Wow. Okay. Okay. So when you got her, immediately right off the bat, we're like, okay, we got resource guarding issues. We have severe fear with just another person entering her space. She's never done that to you though, walking in the room.
No. She hasn't done it to me. But I mean, I could tell really early on, and I think everything kind of came to a head because we're in a shared house. So it wasn't that she was just getting to know me and my partner, but like it was like day one somebody comes into the house, and this is like a house of 20 somethings. So we have friends over, we've got people coming in and out all the time. And it was just like she was very clearly saying, this makes me extremely uncomfortable and I don't know how to deal with this situation.
Okay. And then now where we're at is if somebody is coming over, she's in the crate for about a half hour. Is she having a big reaction in the crate?
She is barking initially, and then I'll tell her to like cut it out. And then she'll kind of like calm down and I'll go into the other room. So she's in the living room that kind of abuts the front door. And then when friends come over, we're almost always going to the kitchen. So it's kind of like they glance, Piper barks at them from the crate. And then we go into the kitchen and she doesn't really see them, but she's listening.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then she doesn't bark for much longer than like maybe 30 to 60 seconds.
Oh, awesome. Awesome. Yeah. Okay. And then you're able to let her out eventually with guests. Okay. And she, what does that look like? She just goes up and smells them and you just say, ignore her, or what does that look like?
Yeah, I usually tell them like, you don't need to pet her. Like she's pretty spatial, so she'll keep her distance, but she'll probably want to sniff you. And that's totally fine. And for a while there, we were just having kind of toys out and about. And I have since stopped that because she would be so excited that she would bring her toys towards us and towards my guests, acting as if she wanted to play. And then they would go to like grab the stuffed animal or the ball or whatever it was. And she would like, she would start guarding it. And it was never a fight. There was never anything that was
good.
I was just always picking up on it more than the folks that were involved.
But you sound like the perfect home for her, though, because you're picking up on all the things that she's picking up on. So I think if she had gone to anybody else, they might not have, I mean, they would have noticed the reaction, right? But like the huge reaction, but all the little stuff that is so important to actually move on from the big reaction. Most people probably won't notice, but it sounds like you're noticing, which is awesome. Okay, so now no more toys are out when people come over, or just in general.
And we really don't, and I think it sucks because we don't play as much, but I was getting really annoyed with having toys out and she would just push them into my lap all the time. And after a while, I was like, I'm not going to, like, that's pushy and rude and I'm not going to do that. Mm-hmm. But to everyone else in this shared household, that was so cute. And yes, we want to play. And you should see Piper's pupils are like, she's like on drugs. Like she is I can't even think of anything else. And so once I took all the toys away, things have really, the dynamic has changed a lot.
But in a good way.
In a good way, like as in there's calm most of the time. Whereas when the toys were out, it was like, I don't even know what to do with myself. And there's a person, they sometimes play with me. I'll go bring it to them.
Okay. Yeah. So we also need to learn, not just that, this is our middle ground, right? We need to learn an off switch when toys are around. Right. So we need to make sure that the way that we're playing with her is pretty productive. Obviously you can't control how other people play with her, and that's where taking the toys up really does help. They're inputting information into your dog that you are then going to have to deal with if it's not the information that you like. Okay. I want to go a little bit further into the when people come over. Because you're saying she keeps her own distance, right? So it's not like she goes up and nips at them. She just has a big reaction and stands far away from them.
No, so Piper is like kind of like she's scared and curious at the same time. Okay. So she will have a big reaction. She looks like a werewolf, like werewolf status all the way. The barks are not small. They are like so scared and high pitched and just like,
okay,
you're seriously in distress. Like this is distressing to you. And she's getting closer because she feels like she needs to try to be in control of that situation. So she wants to go up there. And I will try to have her maintain distance. And I think that if we had more of a place practice, that would be like the way to do it. But right now, it's like for my own well-being, she's in the crate. When I have, you know, friends over and I don't want their cortisol levels to go up immediately when they come over, I'm like, this is better for me. So
yes. No, you're killing it with the first introduction. You're killing it with all of it already. I mean, you really are. To get this far with a dog who's having that big of a reaction, that's awesome. That's really, you should be very proud of yourself for have never owning a dog before. That's huge. You should be very, very proud of yourself. It's hard work, but you're doing it. Here's what I'm looking at though. When you let her out of the crate, you just let her out, right? She's not on a leash. It's not like you tell her to go to place. You just let her out. And then she sort of goes up and probably sniffs and gets the information that she thinks that she needs. Is that fair? Okay. I'm wondering if we can even further support her in that moment by, I think having her in the crate is perfect because I get it. You're like, we only have so much bandwidth, right? For when people first come in and you want to make sure that you spend that time. For me, I would be spending that time sort of sussing out my guest of, is this someone I can let my dog out around? Or is this person not going to take me seriously and try to pet my dog? Like, cause if that's the case, don't let her out at all. There's no reason. If you feel like, okay, this person isn't going to listen, then don't have your dog around them. Now I wonder though, if when you let her out of the crate, if we put her on a leash and we tether her to a place, right? So then that way it's not like she's feeling like she has to go up and get all of this information from these people. It's more just, hey, I want you to learn how to be out with us, but I still want to make it very, very clear that these people are not your responsibility. So you just stay here. So you're almost creating the space for her and then obviously telling your guests, leave her alone when she's on place. Don't mess with her. Don't talk to her. Don't look at like nothing when she's on place. I wonder if that will help the transition a little bit better and just make it really, really clear that nothing happens when people come over. It has nothing to do with her. Why are you freaking out? There's nobody. I invited this person over. They're not here for you.
Right. I think that sounds great.
Okay. Do you feel like that would help?
I think so. I think something that I'm curious about, and like, I guess I do want to, I feel like the main kind of situation I'm dealing with is like a hypersensitive, reactive dog in a shared house environment where my responsibility to her is also at tension with my responsibility to my housemates and their guests and my guests and things like that. And so I feel like that's just like a theme that keeps coming up is like, how can I be respectful? Yeah. So here's the thing why place isn't happening.
Okay.
Place boards are like not something that my housemates want to have. A place board is not what my housemates want to have in the house constantly set up. Right now I'm pushing it by having a,
what about a dog bed?
I know. Well, it's in, so the dog bed's in my, well, yeah, actually I could use a dog bed.
They would be okay with that.
I don't know. There's a little bit.
Okay.
There's a little bit of like ground that I don't feel super comfortable wanting to take up. Right. Cause I have this crate that's in the living room. Like it's taking up space. Also have a dog that is going to bark at all of your guests and also gave you a big scare for the first month that she was here. So there's this kind of dynamic of how can I be supporting both of these relationships? One with Piper and then one with the rest of my housemates. And
who didn't,
respecting the fact that they should be able to have their friends over. And it's kind of a bummer that they need to announce to me and warn their guests that their housemate has a dog that is a little bit, you know, reactive.
Yeah.
So there's like this whole dynamic that's happening. And the place board, although I want one, I think I would like have to be moving it out in and out of the way. And I think with the bed too, like taking up real estate in the shared space feels difficult. And so right, that was kind of a long-winded way of saying, I want to do the place work when guests are there. Should the place be happening like where the guests and Piper can see the guests? Or if we're in the kitchen and the place board is set up in the living room, like how important is it for Piper to feel like she is watching that environment, watching the interactions, able to observe but not interact, versus she's kind of separated when she's out of the room? Does that make sense?
Okay.
Is that like a different situation that she's kind of digesting?
I'll answer it this way. It's important for her to be able to do both. Okay. Right? So, as important as it is for her to be able to do both, there is this very realistic situation, right, happening that maybe makes it only realistic for you to practice one of those, right? Because you can't, you're already towing the line with your roommates. You know what I mean? Like it's, you're already doing that. So if that, all that to say, is the crate in the shared space because for behavioral reasons, or is the crate in the shared space because it can't fit in your bedroom?
It's for behavioral reasons.
Okay.
Yeah.
What if we concede that and we put the crate in your bedroom? Okay. Because then that way you don't feel so guilty about every single time somebody comes over, right? That wasn't your guess, that this dog has this huge reaction. And then you have a little bit of a, I don't know, a little bit more wiggle room, right? Like, it's not, I get it. Like, if I lived with somebody who had a dog that had a big reaction every time I had, well, I don't have guests over, but I get it, right? I get it. On top of, maybe it is okay for a little while for Piper to not have that big reaction every single time somebody comes in, and mm-hmm. and you to be working her through that, right? Meaning on a leash when it's your guest.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Because who knows, I'm not saying this, and it sounds like you live with, the relationship that you have with the people that you live with is good because you're being this respectful, but who knows if they invite somebody over and you're not home and that person yells at Piper when she's in the crate, you know what I mean? For barking at them. Mm-hmm. You don't know. Like, you know what I mean? Like, cause they're not your guests. It's not something that you can control. So when you're in a situation with, you live with roommates, I'm totally okay with her in your bedroom in the crate. And then when you're home and it's your guests, that's when you bring her out on a leash and you tether her to place, because that's a situation that you can control and you know what she's going to be learning from your guests.
Okay.
Does that feel better? Or does that feel like a step back?
Well, although I love Piper, having her big mm-hmm. crate in my room has also been nice for space-wise.
Yeah.
But I guess I was like under the impression that having her sleep, you know, out
of
the room, out, like away from me, is like really getting at that preventative kind of like anxious separation anxiety thing. And I feel like she, basically what I felt the first few months of having her was like basically everything that an unbalanced dog could do, she was. So she was resource guarding. She was reacting to everything. She was. And so it's been important to me to have the crate outside of the room, because at least that's one thing I will say, the separation anxiety is the one thing that has worked for us.
Okay.
Whereas everything else has been like head in the hands, just okay, great.
Okay.
We're dealing with this too.
So then what if, so I just want to find a middle, I want to find a middle ground, right? Because I don't want it to be something where every single time, okay, you said when you have a guest over, she does have a pretty big reaction in the crate. Okay. You're able to nip it in the bud pretty quickly. Do you know if you're not, if what happens if you're not home and your roommate has a guest over? Does she bark for longer? Do they try to address it? How do they address it?
Those might. Yeah, I've heard once before that, like, even though she was in the crate, somebody came over and like they got a little spooked. But there's just going to be such a different array of folks coming in that it makes me feel like maybe that person is sensitive, and I completely understand, but maybe they're a little more sensitive to a dog barking, whereas
I don't really care. Well, that's rude. I do care. To me, it's not so much about how the person feels. It's more, what is she practicing? What is Piper practicing? Right. Cause if when you are not home, the barking and the reaction goes on longer because you're not there to address it, then we're looking at, risk versus reward here. So as much as it is probably, helping you very much so in a lot of aspects, where are the aspects that maybe having her crate in the living room isn't helping you? Now, normally, don't get me wrong, I am a huge advocate of getting your dog out of your bedroom entirely, right? The only caveats or the only like sort of exceptions I have to that are puppies when they're potty training, or if you have a situation that just calls for that, right? This would be a situation that I would be totally fine if you were like, I think it would be better for just the overall tension in the house for me to have her in my bedroom. I think behaviorally she'll bark less, whatever. But if you're saying, I think we actually have improved from having her crate out there, then what, I mean, do you have a crate cover? Is there a middle ground? Or is her crate just open?
It's not covered, but there's like a pretty big chair that sits in front of it, so she doesn't have like full line of sight
anymore. But she does have, so to me then that chair is more like a boundary that she has to get through to get the information, right? It's like something that's not completely turning her brain off and allowing her to not have to worry about anything. It's like something that's almost like frustrating her more of like, okay, if I just get around this, I can see what's on the other side of it. I wonder if a crate cover would help, because then that way, when you're not home, you completely cover the crate. So they make ones that have like, you can zip it down and there's like mesh on the very top. So obviously it's breathable, but she won't be able to see anything. So then that way, when you're not home, you just leave it zipped and you tell the roommates, don't worry about her. And then all they have to do is say, hey, there's going to be maybe a loud noise of barking when you first walk in my house. But she's in a crate and she's going to get quiet really fast because she can't see anything. Right. Then when you are home, open the crate cover. So then that way you can kind of do your introduction to your guests the way that you have been doing it. I want to ease the tension, sort of what you talked about, kind of the overall theme is that how do I advocate for Piper while also making sure I am respectful to the people that I live with. And I'm fair to them as well. I think it would be totally fair to move her to your bedroom, but I also think it would be, it might be helpful to put a crate cover on there. And then you just tell your roommates, don't worry about her at all. She's going to be covered in the crate. She won't be able to see anything. She might bark for a little bit, but a lot of times if people can't see the dog, they're not going to look at the dog. They're not going to walk over and try to talk to the dog. Cause I bet that that's what's happening a lot too, is that people see her and they try to ease Piper's fear by saying it's okay, or, you know, whatever. Yeah.
Right. But I get a lot of information from those moments, because that's when I see Piper's body completely shaking and like tail between legs. I mean, it is like,
okay,
she is distressed and extremely fearful of what might happen to her.
Yeah. Yeah. I think a crate cover is going to work for both ends, right? Okay. For the roommate side of it. And then also to make it where guests who come over, that are not your guests and you have no control over them, don't interact with her in a way that maybe we don't want, that maybe would actually do us more harm than good. Right.
Okay. That sounds good. And perfect. I was trying to figure out a middle ground for place, and I just found, like a place board that closes.
Yeah.
So
Yeah.
Bring it out when I, when I want to use it. And then, and I think I'm going to get one of those, because it's just at this point we work on place, but it's not on anything. And I think that Piper like probably would do better if there was some kind of distinction between ground and your.
Yeah. Screen. Yeah, absolutely. So, okay. So when you're home, is Piper mostly like out and about of the crate and then just sort of roaming, or what does that look like when you're home?
Yeah, I think this is good. And also going back to like your question about structure.
Yeah.
So the basic day is Piper sleeps in the crate at night. Around 7:30, she gets out and we go on a run together. That's anywhere from like 30 minutes to 60 minutes. Then I come back, she's back in the crate for a couple of hours. And I work from home like 3 days a week. And so after she eats her breakfast, I will then let her out. And she usually just finds the dog bed that's in my room and kind of hangs out in there. We take potty breaks a little bit in the backyard that we have. We have just a little bit of space back there. And so she's able to use the restroom.
Fancy. Bathroom, she's very fancy.
She gets to pee. use the restroom. Anyways. See, I told you I'm nervous.
I don't know why you're nervous. Don't be nervous. We're just talking about dogs.
I know, it's just dogs. Well,
but dogs using the restroom.
The restroom. Can you imagine a dog using a restroom? What am I saying? Cat. Okay.
So she comes back in from using the restroom. She tips the guy who has the little wash rag. She gets the perfume. She comes back in.
And then she'll be out of her crate for, you know, maybe a couple of hours, maybe 3 hours. And she's usually just like chilling. Sometimes I'll give her something to chew on, but it's also very structured, because I mean, I give it to her and then I have to I have to, like, when she leaves it, I pick it up and, like, put it away. But
okay.
Just because she's been weird with my housemates with it, if they walk over it, she thinks that they want it, which is ridiculous.
Right.
And so sometimes she'll chew on things, but mostly since the toys have been back, she's just kind of like hanging out. She doesn't do a ton of roaming. She does every time I get up to like use the bathroom and I get up from my desk. She just like goes from being on the ground to like springing up. I mean, it is like, oh my God. Okay. Mom's moving. So I'm going to move too.
Okay.
And I usually have to say, you know, sit and have her stay there. Otherwise she will want to follow me through the house.
Okay.
Any room and do everything and just watch me, you know, chop vegetables. She'll just, it's partially begging. It's partially like, she doesn't know what else to do.
What else to do?
She's going to try to follow me. And I'm really not a fan of that behavior because I've obviously been listening to this podcast and it's like, not, I don't think it's like a very healthy place to come from. Like she definitely wants to be like, she's trying to be, you know, close to me a lot of the time.
Yeah.
And I don't, So
yeah,
she takes a lot of naps. She is crated a lot throughout the day, like at 1.5 hour to 2 hour kind of intervals. And then she'll come out. Okay. Yeah. And then she goes,
do you normally spend time, in like, I'm assuming obviously when you're working from home, you're working in your bedroom.
No, I work in the, like, we have like a little space with a table that I work at.
So cool. Okay. Okay. Now at night when you're just hanging out, are you in the living room or are you in your bedroom? Like, is there time where you're just chilling in the shared space that she is just hanging out with you?
Yes. Yeah. So we'll be hanging out in the living room, like watching TV or something like that. I mean, I spend a lot of my time in the kitchen because that's where I cook and eat. And so she'll spend a decent amount of time in there too. And then we call it rug pose when she just lays down in the middle of the kitchen and like just all fours out. And
just for you to trip over with a boiling pot of water. Yeah,
exactly. Yep. It's like really not the greatest place for her to be.
No, no. Okay. So what about this? Tell me if you feel like this would go over well, because I feel like this might work. It'll be harder, but it sounds like Piper's pretty smart, so I feel like she can figure it out. What about like a bath mat for place? Right? Because then it can stay outside. It's almost like a little rug. You know what I mean? Like it can stay in the living room. This is what I'm getting at. I think we need to learn how to turn our brains off in a bunch of different spaces in that house, because a lot of those different spaces represent different things to her. When you're in the shared space, we're a little bit more on edge because anybody could be popping in at any time, right? So that's where I would do extreme amount of structure. But also when you're in your bedroom with her, it's you and her in the office. I'm going to call it an office. Then she's we need to make sure we're not practicing separation anxiety. So we need to make sure we're doing place work there too. So I wonder if we've got some sort of rug, right, that we can just pick up and move around the house. Cause I do think, yes, would a place board be easier because it's a clearer, more defined bound? Absolutely. But a rug might be easier to just move around the house too, right? I mean, I know the ones that fold in half are easy, but you still have to pick them up, all that. I wonder if that would be easier. And then just wherever you go in the house, you put her there, and that's how you practice place. Now, before you even stand up, I would remind her, because one of my dogs will sometimes do this. I can tell when he's about to. I'll like close my laptop and my dog from his place will look up at me and I'm like, no. Before I even stand up. No, we're not doing, no, no. So I remind him, I'm going to get up and I'm going to use the restroom. You don't have to come with me, right? Because humans use the restroom, not dogs. So it's a thing that I'll remind them before I even stand up. But it's something you have to be cognizant of as well before, like sometimes we just stand up without thinking about it. I have the benefit of like I'll close my laptop, and my dog's place is literally right across the room from me. So when I close it, I'll see his face pop up, and I'm like, that's where I'm like, okay, no, don't move. But maybe just a little reminder before you stand up can help with that, that little, I don't know, rush of adrenaline of I've got to be with mom. I have to, like, we're about to do something. So, cause that's the 0 to 100 that we have. The really high energy, pupils dilated, ready to go. She's really good at reaching 100. We've got to remind her, hey, I'm going to maybe go to a 20, but you still have to remain at a 0, right? Cause she wants to be involved in everything. So that would be my suggestion, is that if she's going to come with you to different places around the house, fine. But I would control her space by saying, okay, this is place. And now we're about to move. So now let's go, come with me, pick up her place, move it to the next place that you're going to go. I would not have her in the kitchen. I would make that a no dog zone. So just teach her go, because that's dangerous. What if you drop a grape and she eats a grape and then now you have to rush her to the vet?
I know. No, and I don't like it either, because I think some people do like to like give her a little, you know, little treats here and there. And I'm like, guys, it's like sharing space with her and a bunch of other people. Like, it brings up a lot of challenges, but I have thought about that. And I think that would be a really good exercise for her too, to not go into the kitchen anymore. How do I start that?
So every kitchen is different, because it is. Every kitchen is different. I would put honestly, what would be an amazing benefit out of this is if you can convince the people that you live with to give this direction to. Because it sounds like the resource guarding is happening mostly with them, not so much with you, like with the bone or something like that. So then that's them basically saying, hey, you're not allowed in this pretty powerful space, because there's a lot of food smells. It's most of the time kitchens are kind of a tighter space too. Being able to have them give her that direction will be huge. So the way that you start that is when you walk into the kitchen, if she comes with you, well, first, identify boundaries. If you have like more of an open kitchen, then you can put tape on the floor, like masking tape if you want to, or in your mind, just have a nice little, okay, she's not allowed to past this counter. And if she even takes one step past this boundary, walk into her, take her space, continue to walk into her till she walks, it turns around and walks away. Then you can use the word go. I like to use the word go for that.
Okay, I love
it. And it's just we have doing tile. It over and over.
I wonder if tile is that that boundary.
Oh, so like it switches from a different type of floor to another. Yeah, absolutely. So she's just not allowed on the tile floor. Absolutely.
Okay, perfect.
Okay. Yeah. And then you can start once she gets more, not more used to it, but like, honestly, you can try to start this. Oh, you won't really even need this. I was going to say you can start enforcing that boundary too when you aren't even in the kitchen. But if you're not in the kitchen and we're kind of putting her on place wherever we are, ideally she's not in the kitchen when we don't go in the kitchen.
Right.
So that won't be really a mistake that she'll make. But I think that's a huge boundary to make or to start enforcing.
So my question is, because I think I'm very structured with her all the time. I'm always thinking about like, how much time has she been there? What's next? Where should she go? What do we need to do? And with place, the way that you're suggesting it, is it basically like no roaming time in the house and she's going to be on place for the most part?
Yeah. And I know that sounds awful, right? I know that sounds... Okay.
Feel bad about it at all, but I can imagine maybe listeners think that it sounds awful.
So. That's true. Yes. Yeah. But also I don't want you to do that forever, because then you create a dog who doesn't know how to be out in the world. Right. Right now though, we have a dog who goes from feeling really powerful enough to claim objects and threaten to bite, right, to really helpless and scared, right, when somebody comes over. Right now, I don't see that there is a benefit of free roam to Piper. right? Yeah. Eventually, once we clarified this relationship, absolutely, I want her to learn how to self-regulate. I want her to learn how to be off of place and just roaming in the house. And then I want her to learn, okay, if this thing stresses me out, I'm going to take myself and go back to place. But right now, she doesn't know place as a coping mechanism. So why would she take herself back there? She doesn't turn her brain off there. She's used to being able to sort of turn her brain off over here and lay in the middle of the rug, or turn her brain off over here and then claim the bone. I want a lot of time practiced that you're on the spot and nobody messes with you when you're on the spot. That's the important part. But also you rest here. So then that way, ideally, what, a couple of months from now, somebody walks in and she goes, oh my God, where's my rug? Where's my rug? I need to make sure I go to my rug because nobody messes with me there.
Okay.
So we have a dog who can problem solve for themselves. But right now you've got to do it all for her.
Yeah. I mean, that also, so a lot of the crate training with Piper had to happen immediately. There was no kind of, like, it was like, once she started going into the crate, like we started having her sleep in the crate, and there was no working up to it. It was just, you're sleeping in the crate now.
Yeah.
And she still is, I think there's a bit of a negative association with the crate.
Okay.
She's quiet in there. She's like, it feels to me like she doesn't enjoy her time in there, even though I know that it's good for her and her nervous system. And I don't think that she needs to enjoy her time, but like, I gave her a bully stick with her in the crate and she wouldn't even touch it. Like she is eating in the crate.
Oh, okay. I was going to ask that.
It's reluctant. It's reluctant at best. And I don't feed her outside of the crate. I haven't done that for like 4 months.
Okay.
But it's still like, she will hunger strike me, which she did yesterday, where there's a lot going on in the house. She probably wanted to be a part of it. I fed her dinner and she didn't touch any of it. She just sulked in her crate. I don't know. Like,
I wonder if the crate, it's not that there's a negative association with the crate. I wonder if a crate cover really is going to help her really truly go, okay, I can turn, I don't have to be concerned with what's going on outside of this crate. Cause it's, to me, you said there was a lot going on, and when there's a lot going on and she's in the crate, she struggles to focus on eating or calming down or whatever, which makes sense. But I wonder if it's just, she still feels like this crazy obligation to figure out and control everything outside of the crate. And so when there's more going on outside of the crate, she can't focus on eating. She can't calm down. She doesn't feel comfortable. So I wonder if that crate cover, the only thing that I'm thinking now is I don't want to have this huge difference between when you have the crate cover down and when the crate cover's up. But I wonder if for a little while, maybe we just make it that when she's in the crate in general, the crate cover is down. And then the only time that you are going to open that crate cover, and she stays in there would be when you have a guest over and you're working towards being able to have her come out. That would be the only time. I really want to have her, I'm glad that you noticed that her association with the crate isn't exactly where we want it to be, which it may never be, fine, but I still want her to understand this is a coping mechanism when I need it. And I don't know that, it sounds like she doesn't know that that's the case. So I wonder if just every single time she's in there, crate cover down. She might have a bigger reaction at first because she's still holding on to the power. Like, she needs that power of being able to control everything. So don't freak out if you're like, okay, now there's more barking, there's more whatever.
Okay.
Work her through that and just keep closing it. Yeah. Yeah. Questions? Do you feel okay about that?
That sounds great. So we did have like a puppy come over one time. And Piper is like, she didn't like that puppy. That puppy had no boundaries with her, and Piper is all about boundaries and like for herself, not for me. She doesn't like my boundaries.
Yeah. Yeah.
But she's all about boundaries for herself. And so I did try to put a blanket over her crate because this puppy was kind of like free roaming and just doing whatever. Mm-hmm. And she hated it so much. And I think that's why I haven't gravitated towards the cover. Cause I was like, oh, this is you're distressed. And
yeah.
I think maybe you like feel like you're not getting the information that you need. And so maybe
right there. She doesn't need the information.
Okay.
What the information that she needs is that when she is in the crate, she's safe. She doesn't need to know what's going on outside of the crate. The problem, the reaction is happening not because of the crate cover. It's because she feels like the only way for her to be safe is for her to know what's going on at all times. And that's not practical. That's literally where all of our problems are coming from, is that this dog thinks that she has to have all of the information at all times. And when she feels like she doesn't, she freaks out. Or when she feels like she's overwhelmed and there's too much information to intake or whatever, like too much happens at once, she freaks out and, you know, super reactive and lots of barking. So, what happened is, at least in that scenario, we already had the trigger walk in, and then we tried to tell her, hey, don't worry about it, when she was already amped.
I see. Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I don't know that, like, if you put her in the crate at night, because she's used to sleeping in the crate at night, she's used to not having to worry about things at night, and we close the cover, I don't know that that'll be the same reaction, because right. There wasn't just a puppy on the outside of my crate that I didn't like.
Yeah. Okay.
That I felt like I had to control because I had no boundaries too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is that better?
Yeah, definitely. And I think what's interesting about Piper's personality is that, like, if we hang out with other dogs and say one dog tries to hump her, she is like, she's never going to let that dog do it. She's very much like, get off. No, I'm not going to do it. And so that always made me think that, like, okay, I've been trying to figure out her pack position for so long.
Yeah.
Are you front of the pack or middle of the pack? Because you don't like, you're not, she doesn't like it when dogs are like licking her in the mouth either. She's like, get away from me. That's freaking weird. But then she's, you know, she's so reactive where I'm like, maybe you're like really back of the pack and you really are like super sensitive and anxious. And I've just like, some person was like, oh, your dog's clearly an alpha female.
Ugh.
And I was like, how do you know that? And she's like, well, she just ran straight up to my dog, like with her hackles, like going, you know, up in the sky.
Yeah. So she to me, it sounds like she's pretty back of the pack, right? Okay. Because her, all of the things that you just said, she just ran up to this dog. She doesn't like, dogs in her face. She won't allow another dog to mount her. Those are all happening out of defense drive, not out of respect me vibe, right? It's like, she's always on guard with her own body. And then her running up to the other dog, it's probably in an effort to control. And that's a dog who just feels like it's the only way to keep themselves safe. It sounds like to me, Piper is constantly concerned about two things. Play the ball, right? Which is most of the time, at least for her, I would say probably in her breed, right? And just something we've created almost like previously it was created that, there's almost like this neurotic kind of, attachment to, that item or that, and that's prey drive in that moment because she's chasing a small object. And the other thing is keeping herself safe. She's constantly concerned with how do I keep myself safe? And if there's somebody that if there's another dog that's being rude, if there's another dog that's kind of unbalanced or pushy or whatever, that's a threat to her safety. So she's constantly concerned with controlling everything, which as a human, when I am feeling like I need to micromanage everything, I'm not feeling confident. I'm feeling really insecure that I have to control every single thing around me. So that's the way that I would look at it. A really confident dog is going to walk in and I mean, they're not going to sweat the small stuff. They're not going to care about like every little thing, because how can you lead and care about every little thing? That does not make a good leader. Right. I mean, a really confident alpha dog is going to walk in. And first of all the other dogs are going to know that, like, I was lucky enough in a way. Well, no, I was lucky enough to own a very front of the pack female dog. Nobody ever tried to mount her. Nobody ever even thought about mounting her. Dogs that were like chronic mounters with other dogs, she walked in the room and everybody just gave her space. Okay. She did not have to ask for it. She just, exuded confidence. She just did. Now, when puppies would come up and lick her face, absolutely, she would say back off, but the puppies are inherently rude, right? They're just, they don't know the rules yet, you know, just like little kids. They can't tell a confident person from an insecure person. They're going to walk up and ask you the same thing. So yeah. I don't, she's doing this stuff out of fear, it sounds like, yeah. not out of confidence in herself.
Okay, got it. Got
does that feel, does that feel like it fits more?
Yeah. I mean, I think at first I was really shaken by the reactions I was seeing.
Why not? Why wouldn't you be?
It was really upsetting. And then I think, you know, knowing that it's rooted in fear and still kind of getting these reactions, but having them be in a little bit more of a structured environment has been so helpful. But I can't help but ask the question of like, is there a time where Piper is going to feel more confident, or is my, you know, my kind of life with her going to be navigating my fearful dog? And that's just the way it is, because I feel a little bit defeated in that she still feels like she needs to be in control of the situation when almost, I mean, I think everything that I do and every interaction I have is so clearly setting that relationship up. And for it to still 6 months in, still have these things where she feels like she needs to be ahead, or she feels like she needs to rush towards the door when somebody's there, it feels a little bit like, well, dang, like the relationship is still not clear to you, or what, you know?
Why would it be though? 6 months in, how long have you been dating your partner, or how long have you been with your partner?
7 years.
Okay. 6 months in, did you have the same trust and ability to rely on your partner as you do now?
No.
Right. I mean, 6 months in with my husband, I mean, there was a lot of issues that I would not have, that we deal with now on a day-to-day basis that we could not have worked through 6 months in. 6 months in, we were still getting to know each other, right? Like that. And not only that, Piper is not doing this. It's not like at 6 months in, I'm trying to figure out, okay, is my boyfriend going to cheat on me? What Piper's doing is 6 months in, she's trying to figure out, is this person going to keep me safe? Can I survive? Like, this is not a question of, does she love you or not? Does she love you enough to not date other humans? Right. It's a question of can you keep her safe? Does she fully believe that in as much as you are the constant, there's new things happening to this dog on a day to day. So which test her ability to trust you, because those are things that you have not been able to work her through yet. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like that's uncharted territory for your relationship, and the things that you have been able to work her through, that's where you have to sit down and go, holy shit. Like 4 months ago, there's no way I would have been able to calm her down this quickly. You have been able to work her through a lot of the stuff that you've been able to practice, but yeah, new stuff at 6 months in, no way. Okay. Like I said, there's a lot of things right now, you know, in my relationship with my husband, you know, finances and all this stuff, like, no, that would have broken us at 6 months in. Okay. That's why it's crazy to move in with somebody that early, even though we were living together 6 months in, but it's fine. It worked out. We got married. it worked out. But it's still like, it's, but the reason that it's crazy is because you don't know that person 6 months right. in. You're still getting to know her, and she's still getting to know you. So I think 2 years from now, if you're like, okay, yeah, it's still taking 30 minutes to calm her down, and we're living in the same house, the same people are coming over, nothing has changed. Yeah. Then, okay, I would start feeling a little bad about myself. 6 months in, no way.
It's just that when you get a rescue, it's like the 3-3-3 rule, you know? And I was like, the day it was 3 months, I was like, okay.
Time to start our new life.
It's gonna be better. And I was like, oh man.
Nope.
But nope. I know that we're nearly at time, but I did want to just ask about your opinion about the hackles.
Okay.
They are extremely, I mean, she is telling me exactly how she feels when she sees another dog. And when we're on a walk and I see her hackles go, I give her a little like tug with the slip lead, you know, and I'm kind of saying, hey, pay attention, like pay attention to me. But I wonder, what is this? Is the word deconditioning? Like, there is a nervous system response happening that, from what I understand, where like she sees another dog and it is like, oh my God. And I don't really know how to navigate, you know, if we are ever off leash with another dog and she has these hackles really high, is that a situation where I just like got to take her out? Because
I would recall her. Hackles. I would recall her back to you. So the problem to me, I guess my problem with the situation wouldn't be her feelings about other dogs. It would be, okay, I still haven't clarified enough going back to what we were just talking about. In the 6 months that I've owned you, you still don't see my side as somewhere where you really get to turn your brain off enough to where any other dog passing by us isn't a concern for you. My dog, my three-year-old dog, will bark at other dogs sometimes, very rarely, but sometimes on the walk, if they're giving him a weird look, if he's got a weird vibe about him. So there are some times where I'm like, okay, yeah, that's fine. You can have a feeling, but I don't think it's a matter of desensitizing her and you've got to just constantly be putting her around dogs. I think it's a matter of really practicing that when she's by your side, nobody messes with her. You're doing exactly what you need to do, is like just giving her a little bit of a nudge on the leash. Come on, let's go. It has nothing to do with us. They aren't going to approach you. That's where like people who constantly have off-leash dogs running up to them. My only advice for that is walk in a different place. Don't walk your dog there. Because how can I convince your dog that when they are by your side, they get to turn their brain off when there's constantly off-leash dogs running up to them when they're by your side? That's not fair. Right?
Okay.
So when she's got her hackles raised and she's in an off-leash situation, that's where calling her back to you is going to help, because you're not telling her, hey, no, don't do that. It's, hey, remember, if you're uncomfortable, you don't have to stand your ground there. You get to come back to me and I'll advocate for you.
Okay. It is hackles all the times in an off-leash situation with dogs.
Like they never go down?
They'll go down. They will after a few minutes, but another dog might come and sniff her and it's like, there's never been an altercation. Like I've never like seen her like have a situation where she like felt like she needed to like control the situation with her teeth. But it's just like this, the hackles are just like all along her back.
Is she like also telling them to back off, or is she giving other body language that's like, hey, I want to play a little bit?
She wants to play.
Oh, no, then let that ride. That's okay. Just a dog. Yeah, that's just, hackles are just, it's a dog feeling unsure. It's a dog feeling aroused, right? So there's plenty of dogs that I work with that will play with another dog with their hackles raised. Most of the time, that's a dog that's either new to socialization, so learning how to play with a new dog, or playing at a really high intensity level that they're kind of like, it's almost like they're going really, really fast and they don't know how to slow down kind of thing. Mm-hmm. That's the way that I think about it. It's like you're in a car and you're like, oh my God, I need to press the brakes, but I don't know how. That's where it's like, okay, if the play is really intense, yeah, I'd call her back to you still. But other than that, yes, that is just a thing of, I mean, she's allowed to be unsure about it. I don't know. I mean, just like you were unsure when we first signed on, like to this conversation, right? Your hackles would be raised in that situation. My hackles are raised every single time I have to go to a party, right? Like she's allowed to be unsure. Now, if she's shutting down and kind of being really guarded about it, then I would say, okay, no, let me call her back to me and let her know that when she's by my side, she gets to turn her brain off. If it's really intense play, teach her how to slow down, because that's teaching that off switch that we really didn't get into. But I'd love to set up another consult and really check in with all of this and talk about the play, because we didn't even talk about that yet.
Yes. And the power loop is like something that I honestly think I might need help from some like an in-person thing, because I mean, I haven't even tried in a few months just because I was like, you know what? We're not going to go on a walk without the power loop on. And it was like, well, we aren't going to get to the end of the block because Piper is like fully shutting down now. And okay. So
here's my tip. And I don't know if this is something you've already tried. But if it is, then we'll talk about it more in depth, but, two leashes. Okay. One as the power loop that you don't touch. You wrap the rest of that leash around her head and you tuck it in her collar and she's just getting used to wearing it. Second leash, slip lead. That way you can address with pressure when she's starting to like paw at it, but you're not addressing with the thing that she's getting conditioned to.
Okay. Okay.
You're addressing with a regular leash. Do it in the house. Don't go outside and condition her. Do it in the house. Just do 10, 15 minutes on that once a day. And I feel like in a week, she'll be over it.
Oh, that would be amazing.
Yeah, just do small sessions, but end on a good note. Don't end when she's freaking out. End on like an upswing.
It might be a short session to end it on a good fine. Note. Okay.
Fine. Short's good. That's fine. And then put her in a crate after. Let her think about it.
Is good note her whole head is on the ground and she won't lift it up? Because that's kind of where she gets to. Like, that's kind of how it ends usually.
So with conditioning to the power loop, that's another time that I will also practice place work. So basically I go, okay, if you can walk around this circle with me, like a really small circle, because our training room isn't huge. But I'll basically say, okay, if you can go in a circle with me without freaking out, then I'm going to put you on place and you're going to take a break for a second. And by a second, I mean like 30 seconds. Then we're going to go on another walk. And then literally by the end of that, probably 5-10 minutes later, the dogs are pulling me to place rather than freaking out, gator rolling, scratching their faces. So I'm kind of reinforcing place as somewhere where they get to go and turn off on top of teaching them a healthier way of coping. And then we just build up the time of being able to walk around.
Are you taking the loop off when she's on place?
Mm-mm. I'm just holding the, at the very beginning, I'm just holding the slip lead. And then my next step would be like the slip lead. And then she's still got the loop around her face and kind of tucked in her collar. The next step.
It's just this. It's not doing the whole loop around.
It is. It is. It is. Okay. Yeah. It's the whole loop around the head, but I'm not holding that the end of that leash.
Right. Okay.
Because I don't want to add pressure to it before I teach them how to get used to wearing it.
Okay.
I just want her to get used to the feeling of it on her face and like walking around with the feeling of it.
And if she is successful with getting it off?
My other tip is the first couple times that I ever condition a dog or I ever use a loop with a dog, I am putting that loop on much tighter than I think I need to. Okay. Because if she's good, if she learns she can pretty easily get it off, it's going to be a lot harder to convince her to stop trying. That was my problem with my short stack dog. I've got like a dachshund pit mix brick. And he can, his legs are so short that all he has to do is go like boop and it's off. So it took a lot longer to condition him to the loop because he was very successful at getting it off. So he kept trying. So yeah, put it on a lot tighter than you think you need to the first couple times.
Okay. So to recap, it sounds like I'm working on power loop. Piper's no longer in the kitchen. I'm stoked on that. I'm getting a crate cover and I'm getting a bath mat for place.
Yeah, like a thick bath mat that you can just easily roll up that your roommates won't get upset about just being in the way and taking up more real estate in the living room. But ideally like a thicker one that's pretty clear for her to understand.
Okay, that sounds great.
We got this. I'm so excited. Okay, perfect. Yay. I'm going to end the recording and then just stay on for just a second because I want to make sure it's...
Make sure to follow us on Instagram at Think Like a Dog Podcast and follow at Mirror Image Canine for training tips. If you have any questions, please reach out to us via email at info@thinklikeadogpodcast.com.